God, be the Lord of this meeting. Wonderful Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just touch and bless and uplift. And Holy Spirit, I pray, make Jesus so real to us this morning. Thank you. Reveal him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Almighty God, we welcome you this morning in your representation as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We embrace you, Almighty God, with love, with worship, with praise, with delight. May our hearts just be so open to you, Lord. May we not listen to what the enemy says, that we are not worthy. We are worthy because you make us worthy. We are holy because you make us holy. We are righteous because you make us righteous. And so we come in that confidence this morning, Lord. Bow the knee before you with delight and love. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, as you touch people this morning. Bringing wholeness, healing, life, encouragement. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Why don't you be seated? Just keep your spirit open to God. He's still doing a great work here this morning. Well, good morning, because I'm really glad that you're here. But you know, I value the presence of God more than anything. If no one was here, and God was, I would be totally fulfilled. But it's even better, because you're here and God's here, so I'm more than totally fulfilled. Isn't that good? Give me a smile this morning, folks. Come on, lighten your, there, give your face a little exercise. That's good. Well, Her Majesty passed into glory this week, and I have a great respect for Queen Elizabeth. She was an excellent monarch. She made some very profound Christian statements that shows that I believe she's absolutely born again, and I believe that she'll be in heaven. She won't be queen there. She'll just be another person. And I'm sure she'll be happy about that. And that'll be great. So we just pray that for the family, like any family that suffers loss, we pray God's grace and condolence on them and that they might know. And I also pray that through this, they might come to an experience of Christ at a deeper level. If they know Christ, great. I don't know whether they do or they don't. But may they know him. We need people in every part of the world who acknowledge Jesus, and we want that for the royal family too, don't we? Amen. Well, this morning I want to welcome Brett. Come up, Brett. Come up here. Pastor Brett and his wife Val are doing a fantastic work in Kununurra. I want him to say good day.
Good day. Thank you, Pastor. I don't know what to say. It has been a long time, and hey, look, when this is over, just come and say hello if I haven't said hello to you already. And I've tried to catch up with a few faces that I remember, and as I was just looking up here, I was a bit surprised. I saw Robbie and Talia. I met them 28 years ago out at Moranbah, and actually through Robbie we had our wedding march song for Val and I when we got married, so go figure. So 28 years, boy, doesn't time go quick. But praise God. Yeah, no, thank you for all your support and prayers. And God's doing great things, and love to share, but I can't. But that's okay. God bless you.
Thanks. Thanks, Brett. How many years have you been in Kununurra now? 12 years. And they left the church here and went out there, and they're doing a fantastic work, and we've been privileged to help support them amongst others. and they're really reaching out to, well, I guess mostly Indigenous people, First Nations, whatever we want to call them, but people who need Jesus. And they're doing a great work there. So thank you for letting us participate with you in that work. It has been a blessing both for us and I hope for them too in that process. How are the air conditioners going? Are they anything happening? Okay, yep. Running for the right power and for all the wind installation and sun, you know, things and make it all happen. But they're getting in there and it's going good. Great, that's good news because it's a hot spot up there in Kununurra. All right, we have some announcements for you this morning and I shall do them. Family and Mission Sunday has been moved to next Sunday, the 18th of September. And so please be prepared for that. And Family Sunday. If you want to be water baptised or have your baby dedicated or become a member of MCF, please fill out the relevant form at the info desk and or at the office and get it back to us pronto. That would be great. Tonight is testimony night for couples and that will be in the powerhouse foyer. And you can see Peter Harris if you need to get any more information on that. And it says 6 p.m. Jono and Hannah. Great. That's exciting. That'll be good. So come along and you can be a part of that too. Extreme registrations are open. And yay, that's right. Check out our website or click the QR code on the announcement slide up there and it'll give you all and you can register and be a part of that. That will be good. And just regards giving, of course we give online these days. We don't pass anything around for you to put money in, but we do have a box outside if you want to put cash in. We have an FPOS machine if you want to do it that way, or you can go online and make it happen. And God bless you as you give. Yesterday the ladies had a great activity, their spring breakfast, and my wife went off looking very glamorous in a new dress. And I'm sure the ladies there also looked very glamorous on the day. That was an exciting morning. Unfortunately, the guest speaker couldn't be with us. She was unwell. But God in his goodness provided her husband. And our gracious God. And the good news is he only had a couple of weekends free for the next 5 years. And this has to happen to be one of them. So we are privileged to have him this morning. And it's a great honour for us to have Dave Gilpin in the church. Pastor Dave Gilpin came to Australia at 5 years of age from the UK, grew up in Australia, then went back to the UK and planted churches there for 29 years, returned to Australia and pastored a church, but now he's in a more of a free-flowing area, helping pastors in their relationship with God, their growth and how to run their churches, all that good sort of thing. And I appreciate that he's got such a heart to do that. And the ladies tell me it was a great, great time. I've questioned a number of ladies this morning. I said, how did it go? I mean, sending a Daniel into the lion's den is always a challenge for any male to face, but he did it well. And all of the ladies have said it was great. And so I'm trusting all the ladies can say that as well. But this morning, I would like you to honour this man as he comes to preach the word for us. And so, Pastor Dave, come on up.
So much. Well, brilliant. You can take your seats. When I turned up yesterday and all the women were all dressed up, I thought, I'll wear my suit today. Do you like my suit? Dressing up for Mackay Christian family this morning. And I want to say it's a huge honour to be here and to be in this church. It kind of feels like I was in Emerald way back in the early 80s, and I think I met Brett around then as well. And I kind of feel like part of the spirit which I emerged out of, from a cocky university student to someone that was filled with the Holy Spirit, that same spirit's in this place today. And I want to firstly thank the worship team, and skillfully done to actually slow the meeting down and down and down to not rush it. I felt incredibly refreshed because just about every meeting I'm in is a rushed meeting. And so why don't you put your hands together for the worship team. And they've gone. They've disappeared. They're out for an e-cigarette. They'll be back in shortly. Oh, gosh. So Rob and Denise, thank you so much. I just really respect you, and you've been here for 120 years. And it's been a long time, but you were a hero when I was way back, you know, back in... And also when the same connections you've had with Dave Cartledge, I've been mightily impacted with Dave Cartledge, and then to catch up with you again has been extraordinary, to be with two incredible legends. So why don't you put your hands together for your pastors... And I've met Cheryl and Jeff, who are absolute legends and just fabulous people. And I've met Wayne and Sue as well yesterday. But I had this distinct impression they were trying to get me to move to Mackay. Like, I felt like there was a pincer movement on me, you know. And Sue is showing me all the sites beside the seven, I think it's seven beaches, is that right, that you've got up here in Mackay, you know, which is more than Airlie Beach. You know, I think they've got one beach that's crummy, right? And so they're kind of selling Mackay. And I think I'm half one to Mackay. What an incredible secret in Queensland Mackay is. It's an incredible place. And, yeah, you can put your hands together for Mackay. And so, yeah, I've had a fabulous time so far, and the women's meeting yesterday was brilliant. I'll mention my books a little later on. I've got two books that Jen's written, but I've written a book, and it's called Man Boobs. And it's called Man Boobs and Other Human Rights. And I thought I'd mention it early on because men need to, it takes a while for them to make a decision to maybe get the book. And it first starts off with the three stages in a man's life. The first stage is that he believes in Santa. The second stage is he doesn't believe in Santa. And the third stage is he is Santa. And I've written in here the difference. Like, it's controversial now, the difference between men and women, but we're traditionalists, we'll understand. And let me read you what I've written about the difference between men and women. Women are compassionate, loving, and caring, and they cry when they're happy. Slightly strange. Women have the ability to keep smiling even if exhausted. Women will stop at nothing to get what they think is best for their children. Women can turn a simple meal into an occasion and make a man feel like a king. That's not every woman, is it? I do all the cooking in my house. I decided to survive. So it's about 20 years ago I've been doing the cooking. I think my wife, she doesn't even if she cooks a chicken, she won't even check that it's cooked. Women know how to comfort a sick friend and will go the extra mile. Women know how to entertain children for hours on end. Women have a will of iron under that soft exterior. Women are easily brought to tears by injustice. Women make the world a much happier place to be. Yeah, give it up for all the women here. Okay. So men, all right. Okay. Men can move heavy things and deal with spiders. It's pretty important stuff, you know. There's a lot of heavy stuff around, isn't there? Stick with your manhood, men. Don't let it disappear and melt according to today's culture. Share a word over. Is it Opelli? Is that right? Opelli. Come on up here, stand in front of me, Opelli. Give Opelli a round of applause. Oh, let me say that worship was beautiful. And let me say in terms, is it Talia? Talia, that was just, when you started singing Holy, I thought, Talia, don't just keep on going and just turn it into more words. You know, there's a poet in you. And I think what God wants to do is get that out. He wants you to not always look for permission, but to have a confidence within you to step out of the boat. And I think that this church will move more and more into revival as the worship team loosens up more and more and takes the anointing of God and steps out in the Spirit. And you'll find everybody else will copy and step out of the Spirit. So Talia, and Rob, you are key ingredients in this. And I want to say, Opelli, let me just say in terms of the call of God upon your life, you might not like this, but I can see you at some stage putting the guitar down and picking your Bible up. And let me say this about reinventing leadership. The old style leadership is you've got the number one leader and then there's a huge cliff to everybody else. The new style of leadership is team leadership. And you're a team man. You know how to create a team. And God's going to use that in the future to create great teams. I can see multiplicity of teams to break open cities and towns and nations for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, let me say this. You're a guy who makes complex things simple. And I really love that. You know, sometimes if you write like that song that you wrote, the worship song, it's a very simple chorus, holy, holy, holy. But it's like a good campfire. It's like a good barbecue, you know. You don't actually need that special sauce or the 57 herbs and spices in KFC. All you just need is a good steak. That's all you need. And I want to say to you, don't ever be impressed by worldliness. Don't ever be impressed by the art. Be impressed by the heart. And you're a man that has heart. And the new move of God will be led by people with a heart for Christ, not just the art of proclaiming Christ. And so don't ever feel like you're too simple. Don't ever feel like this is too basic, you know. God's created that in you in order to make complex things simple. You know, and today the worship in this house was, you know, there was more interaction than I felt. I mean, I was standing in front of Harry. What a noisy guy Harry is, you know. I mean, they put me in front of Harry. I was trying to worship God, but Harry just kept on talking in tongues. Doing all kinds. I don't know what he was doing, you know, but he was doing all kinds of things behind me, you know. But next time I'm going to sit over there, you know, just so I can be uninterrupted, you know. But the amount of engagement in this church was, there's an incredible amount of engagement, which says something. It says you're onto something. And so continue to carve away and continue to write simple songs that express your heart and your love for Christ. And as I said, you're a revival maker and it's starting now. Don't always think that one day it'll drop down. It's starting now. It's in your spirit. It's in your heart now. And just be confident. Don't look over your shoulder. Don't study. Don't listen to other people's worship too much. Just continue to create an oasis and a well that you're creating. It's very fresh water here. Very clean, very fresh water. That's the other thing I was going to say. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Bless you. Generally, if you want to motivate a church, you tell them to come off the grandstand and to come onto the field, you know, to stop being so lazy, to stop being so visionless, and come onto the field to play and start scoring goals. But there's a small sliver of land that's between the field of play and the grandstand that is outside of the limelight, but extremely important, is a place called the bench. And no player has ever played continuously on the field without timeout on the bench. Some of you here this morning feel like you're on the shelf, but God hasn't made a shelf in his lifetime. God makes benches. You're not on the shelf, you're on the bench. It's not in the limelight, but it's a part of the game. Everybody moves from field to bench, bench to field to bench, bench to field. And you're somewhere in there, either on the field or on the bench, but you're not on the shelf. God doesn't do redundancies. God doesn't do retirement. God does refinement. And every person in this room needs to slide off the shelf. You said it lately. You said, I just feel like I'm on the shelf. I feel like nobody can see. I feel like I'm invisible like Hagar. I feel like nobody can see me. Yeah, but that's the bench. It's not the shelf. Don't be deceived. You're not on the shelf. You're not in redundancy. You're in the process of reinvention, not redundancy. That's where God's placed you, on the bench of God. And there's some here that need to come off the field of play and need to go back onto the bench and enjoy the bench and enjoy a place of reinvention and rest. There's others that are here that you need to boot up. You need to start putting your boots on. You're going to grab another jersey with another number, but you're about to play the greatest season of your life. Some of you just a little bit longer on the bench. Just wait a little bit longer on the bench and your number's going to come up and God's going to lead you into the most productive time that you've ever seen in your entire life. Let me start by saying not every great player is ever on the field scoring goals at the same time. Some are resting, some are recovering, some are injured, some are new to the Premier League. You can tell the future of a great team, whether it's going to go all the way or whether it's going to falter mid-season by who's on the bench. It's called depth of team. I don't know if you've ever watched English soccer, but it's not as good as generally European soccer. But way back in South Africa, they had the World Cup in Cape Town, and it was in 2010, and England's greatest player, David Beckham, was injured, and he was unable to play. But he wasn't back in England. He was over in Cape Town. He wasn't sitting in the spectator stand. He was sitting in the benches, and he wasn't wearing a onesie. He wasn't wearing his pajamas. He was injured. He was down, but he wasn't out. He wasn't in the stands. He was on the bench. And there's a bunch of people here this morning who are like Beckham's on the bench. You're still part of the team. You're injured, but that doesn't mean that you're out. It doesn't mean that now the game goes on without you. There's people young and old who have been on the field of conflict, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in the arena of Goliath slaying, forerunners of the game. You've been knocked around, you're now recovering, resting, you've completed a season, an innings, a tour of duty. Well, let me firstly say thank you. All the legends in this room, I've already met a whole pile of legends in the room, but let me just congratulate you that people like me are walking on the shoulders of giants. That's how we got here. There's people in this room that are Goliath slayers. You fought the good fight. You've run the good race, and I want to congratulate you. Don't diminish your past just because people forget about it. God forgets no man's good work. God will reward you for everything that you've done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I want to particularly say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I need to say this, just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. There's a propensity for the old timers to get new time critical, new time cynical, and start to move themselves onto the stand of cynicism instead of realizing that you are just as important today as you were a decade ago, as you were 3 decades ago, as you were 5 decades ago. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's give them a clap because they know who they are. Manchester United isn't just good because or great because of Ronaldo or Sancho or Wayne Rooney. It's great because of Matt Busby, because of Bobby Charlton, because of the George Bests of the game. A great team is a deep team where talent, history, experience, and wisdom gather on the weather-beaten slats of the bench. North Queensland Cowboys aren't just great because of Jason Tamalolo. They're not just great because of Matt Bowen, because of Matt Singh, because of Willie Tonga, because of Brent Tate. They're great because, and they were great last night, because of Michael Morgan, because of Jonathan Thurston's, because of the Matt Scotts. That's what make them great. It's not just the current players, it's the former players. And as long as the former players are standing up cheering on the new players, we've got ourselves a victorious team here. What you need is a personal revival and stop splitting the church between those that were a part of the previous move of God and those wanting a future move of God. We're still part of the exact same team. And if one shears the others, we've got ourselves the most successful team in central Queensland. Can you say amen? Uh-huh. Secondly, to all that have completed a season, the game's not over until the fat angel sings. I ain't heard a fat angel sing. Someone once said, the end of a season is not the end of the journey. And when Jesus said, it's finished, the first part of his journey was finished. It wasn't, his story wasn't finished because he spent the last 2,000 years making intercession on behalf of the church and on behalf of the world. So it was his season of dying on behalf of humanity that had finished. His season of striking a covenant between heaven and earth so that your entire sins could be forgiven, that was finished. But his ministry wasn't finished because it continues right the way through to this day. And your season might have finished, but your life hasn't finished and your story hasn't finished. And God's got a second part of your story ready and available for every one of you in this room today, because He has not finished with you. It's not over. It's not the end. It's an ad break. It's a blank sheet between chapters. And you might feel like you're on the shelf. You used to be the star player, the life of the party, the one who others wanted for their team. You used to have a bunch of friends you did everything together with. You used to run the worship, the stewards, the connections team, the eldership. You used to be in a relationship that, despite your best efforts, slowly grew cold and distant and died in your hands. It's not the end. It's an ad break. Who put a full stop where there's a comma? Who said this is not the bench? Who said that this is the shelf? Who made you feel redundant? You're in a very sensitive time in your life right now, a time of transition where you need to put the shield of God up. You need to run into the castle of God and get your strength from God. You need to protect this time, because this time is the junction between the previous era and the future era that's bigger and brighter than anything you've ever experienced before in the history of your life. Can you say amen? Give God a hand clap and get engaged this morning. This is your opportunity to recover, to get reinvented, to get recharged. The greatest season is about to begin. I'll just say this to each one of you, that life, it was never as good as you thought it was. We just look back in history at rose-tinted glasses. We do that with Australian music. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was really crummy, but we thought it was good. But we look back with rose-tinted glasses and think, oh, that was my favorite song, But we always thought when we were younger that we fitted in the church or in the community, in the school, in the university. But we've never fitted before. Your entire history of your entire life has been square peg and round hole. But you sometimes reminisce and think, oh, they were good times. Yeah, they were good times when you have autistic blinkers on. But they weren't good times when you saw the overall picture. You were rejected often. You never quite fitted in situations. You never quite relaxed your way through that circumstance and in that season. And we think that the past is better than the future. But your past is square peg in round hole. But your future in God is round peg in round hole. God's taking you out of square hole and He's placing you in round hole. And God has to use the bench to move you from one season of active play to the next season of active play. He uses the bench to reinvent you for the greatest season of your life. Come on, permission to get excited. Come on, Harry. Permission to get excited, Harry. We want to hear you. I need to hear you. Psalm 138 verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill. He will fulfill. Everyone say, He will fulfill. He will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you shall carry it on to completion until Christ's return. So everyone look at me. God's not finished with you now. He's got plans. He's got purposes. He's got a future for you, for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's got plans installed. This is just an ad break. This is the blank page between chapters. That's all this is. Don't make it into the end of the book. It's not the end of the book. It's the end of chapter 7 of a 21-chapter book. You need to slide off the grandstand and slide back onto the bench of God to be a part of the team that God's planned for the next move of the Spirit of God. God won't abandon you mid-race. Other people may be doing what you used to do. You were number 7 and someone's now taken your jersey. Other people may be spending late into the night with the same people you used to burn the midnight oil with. I've got 2 words for you. The first word's move and the second word's on. I'm going to string them together. It's time to move on. You can't constantly be a broken record and play the hits of failure and the hits of the last season. At some stage, you've got to break that record and move on. And God, in one key verse in the Old Testament, God had to say that to Samuel. How long will you cry over the record of Saul? I've rejected him as king. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn over Saul? Since I've rejected him as king, fill your horn with oil and anoint the next king. It's time to anoint the next king. It's time to stop crying over spilt milk. Once milk's spilt, you cannot regather it. You can put a straw underneath the refrigerator, but it's best just to forget about spilt milk. Let it dry out itself. Otherwise, you'll spend your life bent over trying to get back spilt milk. Once milk's spilt, it's time to move on. Buy some more milk. Get into the new chapter that God has for you. But stop reminiscing and stop repeating everything that was a part of your history. The Bible says, don't dwell on the past. Forget about the past. Paul says, I forget the past, everything that's gone before me, and I press on toward the upward call that God has for my life. You want to have amnesia over some of the failures and successes of your past so that you don't live somewhere in the ether between tomorrow and yesterday. You want to be a person of tomorrow. You want to not dwell upon the successes and the failures of the past. And you want two words. You want to move. Second word, on. You want to move on. In Jesus' mighty name. She's not worth it. He's not worth it. I'm talking figuratively here. It's not worth it. They're not worth it. And it's not, you're not rejected because you're short, because you're clumsy, or because you're a failure. You're rejected because life's rejections are God's ejections into a better, a bigger, and a brighter future. The one thing that COVID has done is that COVID's migrated people from one place to another place. You might be new to this church, newly migrated. Welcome to the new thing that God's doing. He's doing mass migrations. My wife and I were in the United Kingdom for 29 years. We moved back here during COVID. We're part of an end times move of the Spirit of God. It's called migration. So if you find yourself brand new in this church and invisible in this church, this is your bench time, because God has an incredible plan in store for each one of you, and He's getting you ready. He positions you first before He does everything that He wants to do through and in your life. There's people here that need to get off the field of play and head back to the bench of reinvention. You're clogging up the pitch. You're an old wineskin. You're getting itchy, scratchy. We know who you are. You're annoying. Even to yourself, you're annoying. Because you're trying to perpetuate an old season. You're trying to be the person you used to be on extended time, but it's becoming like a broken record even to us. And some of you need to come into the process of reinvention and stop trying to put extended time on something that's finished. The old season is finished. Welcome to the new season, but welcome to the bench that precedes the new season of God. There's build up of disappointments. There's signs of exhaustion. You've lost your spark. You've lost your va-va-voom. You've lost your pizzazz. You need to get it back. We want to see the best of you. Christianity isn't when the worst of you meets the best of God. It's when the best of you meets the best of God. And so God wants you to get your va-va-voom back. He wants you to get your mojo back. He wants you to get your pizzazz back. He wants you to sparkle like dew on the ground of a brand new day. It's time for a Sabbath rest for some. If you can allow this season to end, you allow the new season to begin. If you can release your identity from what you do and who you're hanging around back to whose you are, then we're in business. Had a hit record. You've done your Hotel California. It's time for another hit record. It's time to become, you don't want to be a member of the Baha Men who let the dogs out. One hit wonders. You want to be part of the Coldplay of God. You want to have a hit Yellow. You want to have a hit Fix You. Then you want to have a hit The Scientist. Then you want to have a hit Sky Full of Stars. You want to have a hit It's Magic. You want to become legendary for the kingdom of God. And if you can allow the old season to die, you can allow the new season to live. I know I'm speaking to people here this morning. If you can stop trying to perpetuate something that was and allow God to have it through a series of surrender and trust, then God can then give you what He's prepared for the next season in your life. If you can, John chapter 15 verse 2 says that every branch that bears fruit, that's you and that's me, He prunes. It's most annoying, so that we'll be even more fruitful. Some of you need to lay it down. Some of you need to change your state, not if you're married, but change your state Facebook status back to single. Some of you need to stop striving. There's an anti-strive in this church. I know that it's here. So I'm speaking to the choir here. But some of you need to stop striving and trust in God. Allow Him to take you down the river of His plans. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, unless a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, then it produces many seeds. To everyone on an ad break, beware of the grandstand, the looming shadows of cynicism that falls easily upon inactivity and insecurity. Never say about the church that was better back in the olden days. You're lying. These are the greatest days of the church right now. These are the greatest times in the church now. The church has never had such wisdom, such experience. The church has never had such a freshness within it. We've been through COVID. To survive COVID, you've had to have had a good relationship with God. You're thriving more now than you were pre-COVID because you've had to dig in to the very heart of God. That's where you're at. This church is better than it's ever been in its entire history. And you need to say amen to that in order to move on into what God has. Stop reminiscing. Stop making up the past. You're in a better state, a better condition that you've been ever in the history of your life. Stop going off on a huff. Stop parking your backside in the plastic seats of the stand. Stop being so naughty. Okay, how about the band come on up and I'll do my last point. My last point is it's not just the quality of the bench that makes a great team. It's the attitude of the bench. Okay, if you've disengaged, re-engage right now because I'm speaking to you. It's the attitude of the bench. And you know, when England was playing way, way back in South Africa, David Beckham wasn't in a tracksuit. He wasn't in chinos. He wasn't in dungarees. He was standing up in his Armani, in his Pierre Cardin, in his Yves Saint Laurent. And it's time some of you took off sackcloth and ashes and start to prophesy your future by putting on your Armani of God, putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, putting on a smile for the spirit of grumpiness, putting on a generosity for the spirit of stinginess, putting on a glint in your eye for the depression of looking behind within your life. Some of you need to prophesy with what you wear, with what you put on, with what you say. You need to come back and start believing again, hoping against all hope. Because as the camera follows the guy with the ball on the team, God's camera follows you. God's camera's on the bench all of the time because God wants to know, was it all about you or was it about Him? The proof is when you're sent to the bench, what you do on the bench. If you just wrap up in a fetal position with self-pity, then God knows it was all about you. No wonder He's pulled you off the team because you're dirtying up the team, bringing an unclean spirit to the team. But way, how you are on the bench, what you say about God's church when you're on the bench, what you do, whether you sit or stand, whether you cry or wrap yourself up or stand up and put on Yves Saint Laurent, you want to bench it like Beckham. Every one of you to prophesy that the future is bigger than your past.
to prove to God that it wasn't all about you. It was about the kingdom of God, that you sought first his kingdom. You're a seeker first of God's kingdom, and you prove it by your attitude. Some of the greatest goals of the kingdom are about to be kicked. You can start playing the keys. You may not right now be in a season of high performance, but you can be in a season of high family and a season of high generosity. My wife, I said yesterday to the women that she's got two artificial hips. She still walks, right? But she's got two artificial hips. And because she used to run so much. She used to run for Queensland, and I think it was 800 meters and stuff like that. And she always follows the athletics on TV. But whenever she went down to the running track to run, she used to have a look at the audience, have a look at the people in the stands. And she was looking for a dad. Her dad was totally bald, you know, and he was easy to pick out because the sun would bounce off his bald head. And whatever she was doing, whatever race she was in, she'd have a look at the grandstand and she'd search out for a dad. If her dad was there, she'd run faster. If people know that you might not be high performance, but you could be high family, every son needs an uncle. Every woman needs a sister. Every person needs a mentor. Everybody needs a fan, a celebrator. And we've got the opportunity in this church that some of you are low performance. You're low performance because you've just done a season, extraordinary season. You slayed Goliath. You've walked through broken glass. You've walked across high mountains in the name of Jesus. Have a break, but to prove that it wasn't all about you and to accelerate the motions of today's team. You're going to bench it like Beckham. You're going to stand up. You want to stand up. You want to stand up, not sit down. You don't want to cry in self-pity thinking, what about me? You want to stand up and start to scream and yell the names of today's players, realizing that just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. You're as part of the team, as much a part of the next goal scored as the goal scorer, because it's a team effort. And I want you to rise up. I want you to celebrate. I want you to text people. I want you to get on Instagram. I want you to encourage people. If you see something good happening, I want you to encourage them. If you want kids and you haven't had kids, encourage every person who's having a new kid. If you've never gone out with somebody and you're wanting to get married, encourage those people that find a partner, that get engaged, that get married. Become a celebrator of the world around about you. Put on your Yves Saint Laurent, and God will realize that greatness is in the house. That you're still part of the team. You're not part of the grandstand of cynicism. Come back to being a great bench player. Oh, it's a fabulous message, this. Benching it like that. Celebrating things that you wish could happen. The key moment in Joseph's life was he became an interpreter of the butler and the baker in a darkened dungeon while his own dreams lay unfulfilled. He became the greatest bench player the world has ever seen. And let that spirit be in Mackay Christian Family this morning. A huge team rising up. Bench and field. Field and bench. This is the future of this church. Working together, celebrating each other, lifting each other up. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a guy called Roy Riggles in America. I think it was the Rose Bowl Championship of American football in the 1930s, I think. And he grabbed the ball and he started to run with the ball, thinking, I'm going to be a champion here. And as he ran with the ball, he was expecting the crowd to get up and start to scream and start to yell. But the crowd was incredibly quiet, but he kept on running. Finally, after about 60 yards, he got tackled, but he got tackled by a member of his own team. And then he realized, it dawned on him, he'd run the wrong way. I I'll just interject here. There's some of you feel like in your past you've run the wrong way, that if you'd made different decisions, you'd be in a different place right now. But you need to apply faith to yourself. All things work together for good to those who love God according to His purposes. That God has great plans for you, that God can reverse failure and He can create success out of failure. It's the nature of our God. So he went halftime, I think halftime came, and Coach Price was talking to all the guys. And then he said this, he said, same team second half as first half. And Roy was crying his ass out. He said, I've been an embarrassment to my family, embarrassment to my university, embarrassment to the United States of America. He said, I'm not going out there. And Coach Price, you know, just put his hand on his shoulder. And he said these words, and I'm going to springboard off this, right? He said, yeah, but Roy, the game is only half over. The newspapers the next day said he played the second half like a man demon-possessed. He was there at every ball. He was there at every move. He was all over the field. He played the best second half that he'd ever played in his entire life. Because he had a revelation, penny-dropping moment, the game is only half over. He decided not to be defined by his failure. In a couple of minutes, I know times we've just got maybe just a couple of minutes. I'm going to have the quickest altar call you've ever seen in your life. Because some of you are defined by that bad decision. And the greatest weapon of the enemy is not to make you backslide, but to condemn you day and night, to stop you from moving forwards, to contain you, to hold you back is the greatest weapon of Satan. And if you came forward in a couple of minutes' time to say, I will not be defined by failure, and I will not be defined by the success that I had back in the 80s or 90s or noughties or 10s, I'm going to have a blank canvas that I'm going to present to God, and I'm going to redefine who I am for a new generation, for a new season of hit records from my life. Before I do that, this is my wife book, Prophesy, and it's 84 fire starters for a devotional life. I just recommend this because it's straight from her devotional life. Hopefully she'll come here early next year. And it's a fabulous book, and a lot of people have got a lot from this from all around the world. She also wrote a coffee table book that's from her devotional life as well, that has beautiful pictures in it. And it's like bite-sized little nuggets of wisdom and insight to again kickstart your devotional life, getting closer and closer to God. I love what Rob says, that it's not just about the presence of God. Inside the presence of God is the person of God. And I think this book and Jen's book, Prophesy, will help you get there. I've got my book called The Hit Factory, and the catchphrase is that the next big thing is the next you. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. And if God can reinvent you, He can reinvent the world around about you. Everything starts with the heart of you. The next big thing in Queensland, in Australia, in the world, is the next you. But you need to cleanse yourself of the past you, of the former you. Stop letting it suffocate you and start to breathe the fresh air of what God's about to do. And I've got my book, Man Boobs, which I think you'll smile a lot for some bedtime reading. There's a few people here that need to come back to Jesus. You know who you are. There's some people that have never become a Christian. Some of you just know exactly what I'm talking about, that you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is field and bench. The kingdom of heaven is people whose sins are totally forgiven. People who are a part of heaven on earth. Eternal life comes into you. There's a new kind of rocket fuel that comes upon you. You now become born again by the Spirit of God. And God wants you today to come off the grandstand of onlookers to the place of covenant and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's been waiting for this moment today. And I'm going to pray a short prayer for every backslider returning to God and everyone who's never prayed a prayer like this before. I'm going to pray a prayer sentence by sentence as an opportunity for you to cross over and come back onto the field in Jesus' name. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and have us say this after me, and everybody can help us out. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm amazed that you still believe in me. I don't deserve it, and I never have deserved it. But I want to be part of the team. I want to be significant. I want everlasting life. I want to be part of the eternal game, a part of the beautiful game. So forgive me for my sins, for my arrogance, for my self-pity, for my misgivings. And remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. Come into my heart. Be my team captain. Be the chairman of the board. And I thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for me are beyond comprehension. In Jesus' name. Every eye closed in this room, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to get you to do one more thing. If you're on the beach, I'll get you to draw a line in the sand. And we can do that figuratively this morning. Draw a line in the sand between history and future. If you sincerely prayed that prayer and you're either a backslider returning or you're someone who's never given your life to Jesus before, what I'm going to do is get you, when I count to three, to lift up your right hand and leave it up while all the hands are up. This is you dividing time. This is you saying it's a new day. I'm now going to live the rest of my life with Christ and Christ with me. And so if that's you, if you sincerely prayed that prayer, what I'm going to do with every eye closed, except a couple of counselors say, is I'm going to get you to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up. Okay, let's do it now. If you prayed that prayer, backslider or first time, then I want you to lift up your right hand on the count of three. Every eye closed. 3, 2, 1. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Hands going up all around about the place. Hands up, join these people. Hands up all over this place. Hands are going up. On my right-hand side near the front, there's one hand, there's two hand. Halfway down the back, there's three hands. In the middle section down the back, there's four hands, there's five hands. In the middle of the middle section, there's six hands. My left-hand side, there's seven hands near the front. In the middle, there's eight hands. Down near the back, there's nine hands, there's 10 hands. At the very back, 11 hands, there's 12 hands, there's 13 hands. I always miss one or two people, so I'm going to call it at 15. Everybody lift your hands right now. Father, we pray for these people, God. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding come upon these 15 people. Father, we don't treat this lightly. We know, God, there's a party in heaven over every sinner that repents. We know, Lord, let joy enter into this room right now. Let us not ever grow cold to the returning of saints and to people who've been born again and again by the Spirit of the living God. Father, make them strong. Give them courage, God. And Father God, replace fear with faith. Replace fear with power and a sound mind, and come upon them and lead them in ways of righteousness and lead them in ways of truth in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give them a huge hand clap of praise. Everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I'm going to count to 10. I'm going to count to 10. This quick altar is the quickest altar you'll have in this church. This is you wanting not to be defined by your failure, not to be defined by the condemnation of Satan, but to be defined by everything that God says about you. And this is for those who don't want to be defined by their successes or defined by previous moves of God. You want to rub it out. Your greatest gift in life is a house fire where everything that's precious to you gets rubbed out so that you can start again. It can be the greatest gift to you. And some of you, this is starting again territory here. But I'm going to break the power of the enemy. I'm going to break the voice of the enemy. I'm going to uncontain you so you can run on the hills and run on the fields of destiny that God has for your life in Jesus' name. Start singing a song. When they start singing a song, I'm going to start counting to 10 backwards. Then I want you to come out here. You know who you are. Don't waste an opportunity. I'm not a speaker. I'm a lifter. I'm a releaser. I'm a freedom fighter. That's what I am. So I didn't preach a sermon to you. I came to change your life through the power of the Word of God. So don't just think I've got a couple of minutes and then we'll close off. Okay, you start singing on your marks. Set, go. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, come on, big business here. Lift your hands and sing this together. Toward these people right now. I'm going to firstly go pastoral. I'm going to pray for those that have been hurt by friends, by the loss of friends, by the loss of family, that during COVID there was a breakage of relationships, that people felt like they'd been turned on, and now you might find yourself friendless, that you used to have friends, but something's happened. And I'm going to pray against that spirit of accusation. You know who you are today. But you've been accused. The Bible says Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And God right now wants to unaccuse you. He wants to accept you. He wants us to pull down the voice of judgment on you. Some of you have done your best, and yet your best has never been good enough. You're still placed on a cross while doing your very best for God. And it's not fair and it's not just. But now we're trusting in God, and we're saying, God, we forgive those people who have held things against us. But right now we're breaking the spirit of accusation. If that's you right now, how about every person in this room, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Father God, right now I break the spirit of accusation in Jesus' name. I break the weaponry of Satan in Jesus' name. Father God, that we know when the enemy comes in like a flood, God, you raise up a standard against him in Jesus' name. And I shut the voice of lions. I shut the jaw of lions in Jesus' mighty name. And I release these people into freedom. I release these people into liberty. No more accusation in Jesus' mighty name. Let it be like words off a duck's back, like words off a duck's back in Jesus' name. Father, we dress ourselves for battle with Father God, with the shield of faith, with the armory of God in Jesus' name. And Father God, we speak against and we say no to the devil's schemes in Jesus' mighty name. And Father God, we break the spirit of condemnation right across this room right now. There is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. And so we silence the enemy who wants to keep you tied to the past. And right now I cut the cords and I cut the ties that Satan has over you to keep you bound to the past. And I release you in Jesus' name. It's happening. I can feel it happening right now. I can feel it. I can feel it. Just the power of accusation, the power of condemnation, the power of containment. That Satan's tried to say, well, you'll go no further. If people knew about the truth behind your life, you'll go no further. If people get to know you, you'll go no further. If there's things in your past that other people have rejected you, they'll reject you in the future. It's all lies, lies, lies. God's not given you this morning a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Be released, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. Be released right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Father God, you exchange the tears of the nighttime with joy in the morning. You exchange sackcloth and ashes for a garment of praise. You exchange the night season for the dew of a new season. You exchange old for new. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, for your ability to take away the first in order to establish the second. And Father, I declare great times, great seasons, great events, great breakthroughs. I declare great provision I declare new friendships, new partners, new loved ones, new family. I declare fresh success. You can clap while I'm doing this. I'm declaring new success in your business, fresh success in your family, fresh success in your ministry, fresh success in your mandate. I'm declaring fresh success in friendships, fresh success in Jesus' mighty name. We're turning over a brand new leaf in Jesus' mighty name. It is a new day for Mackay Christian Family, and it's a new day for your life. No longer defined by the world or defined by history, but defined and redefined by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes that your future is bigger than your past ever was, in Jesus' name. To finish this meeting, when I count to three, we're going to give a clap offering to God. But I want to say, don't stop. Don't make this a polite courtesy clap. Make this a dominating clap of praise to God that releases you from Satan's grip into Christ's prosperity, Christ's victory. On your marks, get set. It's been great talking to you today. On your marks, get set, go.
Cowboys game last night, but I'm sure at the end somebody was shouting. They won. How good's that? The other thing I saw, I think it was in today's paper, they're saying the key to victory in September is the time they spend through summer keeping fit and further training. So here we hear a word from Pastor Dave, and I'm really encouraged by that. I pray you are too. Get it in your spirit. I felt as he was preaching, there was a sense of prophetic about it, not only for now, but for future. Some of you will need to look back on this word from a time in the future. And I pray that God brings it back to your remembrance, because you think, that doesn't apply to me now, but it may well apply in the future. Amen. Well, God bless you. Join us
for tea and coffee. Thanks, Pastor Dave, for coming and preaching and sharing with us and being blessing us. Hey, the books are up the back. The one thing that intrigued me was, here's the man's book, about 20 pages long. Here's the lady's book, about 200 pages long. I don't know. Must mean something. Amen.